Okay, welcome everyone. Morning. As we go on, the lights are going to get only brighter and brighter. Okay, and hopefully the same thing could be said about my explaining the Gemara. We are on Yigimah Midbeis. We're right in the middle of the Amud. A little closer to the top, where it says Acha Ochlin Tamein. Yesterday we had the very basic discussion of Kedei Achilas Pras, meaning that in order to be liable for eating anything which is prohibited in the Torah, so you have to eat a certain amount of food, a shear, and there has to also be within a certain time frame, also a shear. So how much is that time frame? So that we saw in the Mishnah yesterday, it's a really debate between Rav Meir and the Chachamim, but the position of the Chachamim, which is the accepted position, the adopted position, is Kedei Achilas Pras. You have to eat it within the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of bread. It takes approximately 3 to 9 minutes to eat a half a loaf of bread, as we throw around numbers. So you have to eat the Issa within that time frame. Rameer's position, which we talked about yesterday, what exactly his position is, it's longer, it's shorter. The Gemara's conclusion was that his position was a longer position. As long as you are continuously eating, so then you're going to be chayv. But again, we paskin like the Chachamim, it's Kedei Achilas Pras. We go on in the Gemara from where we left off yesterday. Achal ochlin tamein. If you eat tamei food, lama li shehiya. So the Gemara just is bothered by a particular word of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says vishaha, and you waited and you delayed. What is that all about? Diktani vishaha. Amar Rav Yehuda achik tani. So Rav Yehuda says pshah in the Mishnah will go like this. Achal ochlin tamein. Vishaha samashkin tamein. Vishaha sereviyas yain. Vishaha ba'achilasan. Okay. So in other words, you eat food which is tamei, and you eat and you drink liquids which are tamei, and you drink wine. And all that vishaha ba'achilasan uvishtiyasan kedei achilas pras. Meaning the word shaha is actually a reference to the time that you have to eat it in order to incur a liability. Meaning it has to be bichdei achilas pras. V'nichnas l'mekdash, and you go into the base of mekdash, you're going to be chayev. Okay. Good. So that's what the word vishaha means. We continue in the Gemara. V'lozer omer tan rabbanan. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to spend a couple minutes discussing this idea that you can't have drunk wine and go into the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps one of the things that Nadav Avihu did, the Pesukim are not particularly clear about what they did, but we have through Masor, we have through tradition, a number of opinions in terms of what they did. So one position is that they walked into the Beis HaMikdash while they were intoxicated with wine. Now the Torah, when describing this prohibition of Yain V'Shecha, and by the way, it's a very simple reason why, that's one of the interpretations, because immediately after the sin of Nadav Ve'Avihu, the Torah then conveys to us, Yain V'Shecha Al Teisht, don't drink wine and go into the Beis HaMikdash. So without pointing its finger at Nadav Ve'Avihu, it seems pretty clear by Hekesh, whatever you want to call it, that's what Nadav and Avihu did. So the Torah says, Yain V'Shecha Al Teisht. Don't drink Yain V'Shecha. Now, those are two different terms, Yain V'Shecha. Yain, we know what Yain means, wine. Shecha also means wine. So then, why does the Torah say Yain and then it says Shecha? Now, Shecha also has other connotations as well. It, you know, could refer to beer, right, as the Gemara commonly refers to it as. But in other words, in the Torah itself, when the Torah uses the word shechar, the Torah usually references wine as opposed to any other drink. Yayin is a more global term. Yayin basically refers to any grape product, meaning, even from the Torah's perspective, when the Torah says yayin, it can even be referring to grape juice, meaning freshly squeezed grapes. A shechar, as the name indicates, has to be wine that has fermented, meaning it has to have some sort of intoxicating effect. And in fact, the word sheikhar also means shikr, right? In other words, it has to provide some sort of intoxicating effect. So the Torah uses two terms, yain and sheikhar. Yachol afilu kolshu, afilu migito. So the Gemara says, I might have thought that it would refer to any grape product, even if it comes straight from the gut, it came straight from the vat, meaning it has not undergone any fermentation process whatsoever. Tamalomer v'shechar, ein aser ela kedei l'shaker v'kamade kedei l'shaker revias yayin bememyom. So the Gemara says that, and it has to be a wine that intoxicates. And the Gemara gives a very clear definition of how much we're talking about. Talking about a revius of wine, so again, it's not a lot, it's approximately 3 ounces, and it has to be minimum 40-day-old wine. So a quarter log, revius, 40-day-old, That is intoxicating. In kematam alam yain. So then the Gemara's question is the next obvious question. If all that is deduced from the word sheikha, what is yain adding? So alam achash, muzarn alav, kol shuhu muzarn alav migito. Okay, so the... what Yain is telling us is that, look, any grape product you're not allowed to drink and then walk into the Beis HaMikdash. Even if it's freshly squeezed grapes, what we would call grape juice, you're not allowed to drink that and then go into the Beis HaMikdash as well. But that's only a lot. That's only a negative prohibition. In terms of receiving the full Misa B'dei Shamayim, the full wrath, if you will, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you have to drink something which intoxicates, to which we just described earlier. So according to the Tanakhama, if you drink any grape product and you go into the Beis HaMikdash, that's prohibited. The only difference is that if it's intoxicating, i.e. it's fermented, so then it's going to be an Issa Misa B'dei Shamayim, as opposed to if it's just fresh grape juice, so then it's only a prohibition and not Misa B'dei Shamayim. That's opinion number one. There are two more opinions coming up. Rav Yehuda Amar Yayin Ein Li Ela Yayin Shar Mashkin Mishachar Minayin. Rav Yehuda says, look, Yayin tells me that has to be wine. But then the Torah goes on to say, Shechar. Other intoxicating items, Tamalama Vishekhar. Vishekhar, according to Rav Yehuda, tells me that it can even go beyond wine. Meaning anything that provides an intoxicating effect is going to be prohibited. So that means now that according to Rav Yehuda, why, if it's any intoxicating drink, so why then does the Torah mention wine? Meaning Shekhar should cover it all. So the Gemara says, because if you drink Yayin, that's Misa. Shar Mashkin, if you drink any other intoxicating drink, it's Azar, it's only Alav. But it's not Misa. Yeah, so where would, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where would grape juice fit into the discussion? So I'm not sure, meaning it could be Yayin. Could be that grape juice would fall under the Yayin category. Okay. And then it would be Misa. Rabbi Lazar, the third opinion of the Braisa, Rabbi Lazar Omer, right? Eliezer, Lazar. Okay, you can choose. So, Yayin al teish v'sheichar al tishtehu k'derech shichruso ha'im hifzik bo o nasan l'socha ma'im kol shu pater. It has to be that the way you drink it is an intoxicating way to drink it. Meaning the word sheichar is not referring to any particular drink. The word sheichar is talking about how to drink it. Meaning you have to drink it straight. Correct. Straight and I say this almost half joking, but not on the rocks. Meaning it has to be just pure wine. So, for example, if you're mafsik, meaning you drink wine in sips, you sip a little bit, you take a pause, you sip a little bit, you take a pause, that doesn't incur Misa B'dei Shamayim. Or, you'll dilute it, you put too much water in. So, that also does not incur the Misa B'dei Shamayim. It only is incurred if you drink it straight, in an intoxicating fashion. So, but my plegi, so the Gemara now would like to try to give an assessment of the three-way debate over here. So, yeah, the Gemara later on will point that out. That maybe this is only for a revius, meaning if you're just dealing with the minimum amount and then you sip it. But you're right, though. In other words, if you continuously sip, so then the Gemara later on will pretty much allude to that. So, but my plea is, so the Gemara says, so what is the machlokas over here? Tanakama Savar Garmin and Sheikhar Sheikhar and Nazir. So the Tanakama says, look, the word Sheikhar is learned from Nazir. Now, by Nazir, we know that the only thing prohibited to Nazir is only grape product. Meaning, if a Nazir drinks anything else that intoxicates, that's fine. I mean, socially and emotionally, it's not fine. But I'm just saying, but from a violation of his Naziris, that's fine. It only is grape products which is prohibited to the Nazir. Here, the Torah employs the same word, Sheikhar. So Sheikhar over here means also it only can be a grape product. That's the only thing which is prohibited. That's the Tanakhama's position. And Rav Yehuda lo yala Sheikhar Sheikhar Minazir. And Rav Yehuda doesn't have the Gzeira Shava. He didn't receive it as a tradition from his Rabbi. Okay, he doesn't have the Gzeira Shava. And Rav Elazar Savar, my Sheikhar mita to have a Meshach. And Rav Elazar says, what Sheikhar? Sheikhar is not a liquid. It's referring to how to do it. How to drink in order that you incur the liability. Good. I mentioned this yesterday. I'm just going to mention this quickly today. You drink wine, you go into the Beis HaMikdash. Is that it? Meaning, is that all you need to do in order to incur the liability? Or is there more than that? So if you take a look at Tosos, second Tosos on the Amud, Tosos here discusses. V'nechnas HaMikdash perush v'avad avoda. So Tosos is of the very clear opinion that it's not enough just to be intoxicated and go into the Beis HaMikdash. That by itself is not enough. You have to also do avoda. Ava b'knisa b'lo avod lo mechayv v'hachi perish b'toros kohanim. And Tosfos quotes a sifra, Toros Kohanim, the Medrash on Vayikra, that opines that that's in fact the case. That you have to, it's not just going to the Beis HaMikdash, it's doing the avoda while being in the Beis HaMikdash. Makes somewhat more sense because it's interesting because if you're Tamei, so then all it is just Bias HaMikdash. It's just walking to the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to be enough to incur the Karis liability. But I guess by drinking, it's not as much of a psul. In other words, it's not as much of a disqualification. So therefore, it has to be compounded by the fact that you just did the avoda as well. Okay. It's interesting. Now, immediately after I quoted Tosfos, it seems very clear from these lines of Gemara that the Gemara over here agrees with the Sifra. If you ate a cake of figs, or if you drank honey or milk. Now, the Gemara is of the opinion that these things are intoxicating. Now, our milk, I guess we don't have the strong stuff. We don't. Our milk seems to be pretty calm, pretty tame. But the Gemara says it does induce drowsiness, but I'm not sure if drowsiness and is the same halachically as being intoxicated. The Gemara assumes that milk is an intoxicant, and figs are an intoxicant. And if you drink or eat a lot of them, you will be intoxicated. And then by doing that, you walk into the Mikdash and Vishimesh. So, and you also have to do something in the Beis Mikdash, right? As I pointed out, fits in with Tosfos that you have to do something. It's not just walking in by itself. So you're subject to getting Malka. So whose position is that? Come on, Rabbi Yehuda. So that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Because remember, Rabbi Yehuda says that the word Sheikhar is coming to include other drinks as well. Or anything else that intoxicates. I'm Rabbi Yehuda bar Achusai halacha ka Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, which is that it's only wine and it has to be drunk in an intoxicating fashion. The Kari Rava led to Rabbi Elazar tuvina de chachima. And oh, by the way, the Gemara says that when Rav referred to Rabbi Elazar, he referred to him as the best of the chachamim. Rav Acha de Hutza have a nadira ala de besayhum. Okay, the Gemara tells the story. Rav Acha from Hutza made a neder about his wife. Apparently he had it with his wife. Whatever the issue was, the Gemara doesn't give us much more information. But the fact of the matter is that he ended with his wife that I'm not going to get hana from you ever again. Okay, good. Now, dinner time comes and he's hungry and he'd like to eat but he can't get benefit from his wife. So his wife cooks something, he can't eat it. So he realizes at that point in time that he made somewhat of a mistake. Of course, I'm embellishing in the story over here, but you understand. Also the Kamid Ravashi. So now he goes to Ravashi because he wants to be Matir Neder, meaning, so now he's going to go to a Chacham, as per the instructions of any Neder that wants to be absolved, to be uprooted, and he goes to a Chacham and he wants to be the Chacham to be Matir's Neder. So he goes to Ravashi. Amalei Zilha Inav Salamachar. So Ravashi says, no good. I can't help you today because today I'm drunk. And what the Gemara does, and it's a very smooth transition, although the Gemara doesn't tell us that it's really transitioning, is that we're talking now no longer about the prohibition of going into the Beis HaMikdash while intoxicated. We're talking about the issue of paskening halacha while intoxicated. It's interesting. The Gemara just went from one topic to the other without giving us any advanced warning. But we are now on the topic of paskening while intoxicated. So Ravashi says, I'm drunk, I can't help you today. Now drunk, I say the word drunk, you understand, I don't really mean drunk, I mean that he's over the limit. I mean, right, his blood alcohol is, you know, it's too high. You know, I don't know the numbers for driving a car. What is it, 0.05? Okay, I don't, do I have a... So his blood alcohol was too high, so he cannot paskin, right? I love the analogy of the driving the car and paskining. It's, you know, they're both dangerous, you know, big responsibilities. So because it takes him an entire day to sober up, basically, and right from Yontov until the next day. Meaning, on Yontov, he drinks, as per the instructions on Yontov. You got to be happy on Yontov. And Simcha represents wine and meat. So he drank every Yontov. So as an account of that, so he didn't give shir on Yontov. It took him an entire day after Yontov before he would give shir again. So the Gemara says that when Rav Huna came to, now it doesn't necessarily mean that Rav Huna came to Manyantiv, it just simply means that it takes him a day to wear off the effects of drinking. So he says, come back tomorrow. Mishum Shechos. So he says, but wait a second, but don't we know that of the three opinions that we just quoted earlier, granted earlier we were talking about drinking and going into the Beis HaMikdash, but the Gemara sees absolutely no difference between the halacha of going into the Beis HaMikdash and the halacha of paskening halacha after you're drunk. Because each one represents a shear of what is drunk. Well, how much is a person intoxicated? So didn't we say that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar? Now what did Rabbi Elazar teach us? That the word sheichar is not telling us what to drink, but how to drink it. Meaning that you have to drink it Irvius in one shot. So Rami Be Maya, and I know for a fact that when you drink wine, you dilute your wine. You put in extra water in your wine, and so therefore I don't see why it's a problem that you can't paskin for me right now. You can't be matar my neder. Amalei halokasha habirvius haviyos bechne irvius. So the Gemara says no problem. Basically exactly what you said, meaning that the halacha Rabbi Elazar is if you're drinking exactly one irvius. And so then you dilute it. So fine, so then it's not intoxicating. But if you dilute your wine, but you drink a lot of wine, so it doesn't matter that you diluted it. The fact of the matter is that you just drank a lot of wine. And Rav Ashi is expressing that he just drank a lot of wine. Granted, it was diluted, but it was a lot of wine. Tanur Rabbanu Lahavdil. Bein HaKodesh Bein HaChol. So the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. Again, we go back to this week's Parsha Shmini. And the Torah there describes immediately after the Torah says not to drink wine, it says that it's going to be your responsibility, Lahavdil, to make distinctions and separations, meaning to paskin. Bein HaKodesh Bein HaChol. What's Kodesh and what's Chol? And the Gemara now is going to dissect the Pasuk and give us drushas for each phrase of the Pasuk. Eilu, Damim, Ve'arachin, Charamim, Ve'hekdeshos. That refers to basically appraisals. Appraisals for the value of people, the erich of people. Erich doesn't require much knowledge base. You just have to know age and gender. But still, charamim and hekdeshos, these are all the appraisals. Bein atame, bein atar, back to the pasuk. Eilu tameis v'taharos. That's easy. Meaning, what's tame versus what's tahor? I mean, that's easy. Then you have to go through masechta taharos in order to know. But ulahara zuha ra'a. And laharos is a reference to hora'a. Right, hora'am, so that's a very broad term. What specifically is that speaking about? So, sounds from Rashi that it's Isser v'Heter, right? Basically, that which is mutter versus that which is not mutter. It's called Chukim Eila Medrashos, Asher Diber Hashem. Now, Medrash is interesting because Medrash, Medrash usually refers to homiletics, right? The sermon, but hard to imagine because you could sermonize while drunk, meaning you're not issuing any type of halachic ruling. So again, I turn to Rashi, and Rashi says over here, Medrash shedorshin bepirka also l'shesuyam sheish b'mora. So Medrash over here does not mean homiletics. It doesn't mean sermonics. It means when the rabbi publicly darshins. And so, and he's going to give issue on halachic ruling, and again, he should not be intoxicated when doing so. Asher diber Hashem, and by the way, he shouldn't be intoxicated just for the PR issues. But aside from that, in other words, from a halachic standpoint, Asher diber Hashem zu halacha. And halacha is, says Rashi over here, halacha Moshe Mesinai. Right, you understand why Rashi does that? I think I do. Because we've already basically established that you're not allowed to issue any type of halachic ruling. And so when we get to the word, Asher Diber Hashem, that which Hashem said, and the Gemara says halacha, what else is left to be included? So Rashi says it must be talking about halacha Moshe Mesinai. Also, another point about this Rashi is Asher Diber Hashem, right? That Hashem said. What does that mean, Asher Diber Hashem? Meaning it's a halacha that was conveyed to us strictly mouth to mouth. Meaning from God to Moshe, from Moshe to Yeshua, etc., etc. Biyad Moshe Zutamud. And then when it says Biyad Moshe, meaning that's something that Moshe had more involvement in, what's that referencing? That's referring to Talmud. Yachalafa Mishnah. Now what about Mishnah as well? Meaning, can you say over a Mishnah while intoxicated? Tamalam or Laharos? So the Gemara says, sure. Because Mishnah does not require Hora. There's no thought in Mishnah. No. It's funny because we're going to learn a Mishnah later on this morning, which is going to require a tremendous amount of thought. But in other words, there's nothing to draw out of a Mishnah itself. I'm talking about just the actual Mishnah itself. A Mishnah is a Mishnah. It's very straightforward. Now, what about Talmud as well? Meaning that perhaps it would be prohibited to learn Talmud, right? Be when you're drunk. So that's laharos, meaning no. To talk about a halacha, to discuss a halacha, that's fine. To issue a halachic ruling, that's the thing which is prohibited when a person's intoxicated. Keman azlahad detayin, the Gemara quotes the following braisa. Yatza sheretz tamitz fardeya tahor. Shishisu yayin morim bam hora. So the Gemara says, how about this? How about I step forward and I say, sheretz is tamay. A sheretz is tamei. Everyone with me? That's my major ruling of the day. Right? You're going to walk out of the daf yomi today. So what did he say? He said a sheretz is tamei. That's not that exciting. I mean, or I come out and say tzvardeyas tahor. So when the frog dies and you're holding a carcass of a frog, you're fine because a frog is not one of the shemona shrotzim. Shishisu yain morin b'hem ra. We're there, even if you're drunk, you're allowed to say those things. So, Nema, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Hivala Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, maybe that confines itself to the position of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Because remember, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says, is that Gemara is okay. Meaning the discussion of Gemara is fine. But the Chachamim presumably do not allow a person to discuss Gemara when intoxicated. So the Gemara says, no, Afilu Tema Rabbanan, Vishani Hacha, Dezil Kari Bei Rav. I'm sorry, Zilkar Beiravu. The Gemara says, no, that's fine. Because when you step forward and you say, Sheretz is Tame, right? I'm standing in front of this big room now full of people, and I make such a declaration. That's not a declaration. Meaning, you don't need me for that. You go to a child who's learning in school. I know we could fill in the jokes, but let's not fill in the jokes. You go to a child who's learning in school and say, Sheretz, Tame or Tahor? So you don't need me for that, right? A child learning in school will tell you, Sheretz is Tameh. It's a Pasuk in Chumash, right? This week's Parsha. Okay, good. So the Gemara says that's not Horah. That's not a ruling. A ruling requires something intelligent. So something that's thought through. Amar Rav Alachi, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says, the halacha is like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, which means that even when you're intoxicated, you can learn Mishnayos, you can say over Mishnayos, and you can even learn Gemara. Meaning you could discuss the halacha. You can't paskin, but you can learn. So Vaha Rav Lamukin Amara Miyomatav Lachavre. Now this is the same Rav who, when Rav Huna ran, when he drank on Yantav, he didn't darshan in public. So the Gemara says, why not? And Mishum Shichris, because he was drunk on Yantav. So the Gemara says, now why not? Meaning when you darshaning, right, you're giving a shir, what I'm doing right now, or when you're giving a chabur after the Ashkama Minyan. You're not saying over halacha, you're discussing the halacha. It's what we would call pilpul. But it's not, you're not ruling. So the Gemara says, Shani Rav de Uri Mare. So the Gemara says, well, Rav is different because whenever he spoke in Shir, he always came up to halachic conclusions. Meaning it was impossible for him not to just discuss the halacha, but he discussed the halacha and then he would always issue a ruling. Hedy, he's your guy, Hedy. You would definitely like him. Venekam delo lori. So the Gemara says, okay, so I don't understand. So why doesn't Rav just simply give the shear and not arrive at any conclusion? The Gemara says, kol hecha diyasev Rav, lo sagile b'lo hara. Impossible. It was just impossible for Rav to do so. Rav felt it important, and not just important, but essential, that whenever he says a shear, he says over the halacha as well. Don't worry, Hedy, I'm listening to what I'm saying. Okay, and as long as I'm trying to listen to what I'm saying, so good. So that finishes discussion. So, that was a long discussion about what not to drink and then walk into the Beis HaMikdash. So there are three opinions. The Gemara concludes the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, which is that not only, or Rabbi Elazar, I myself now I'm so confused, I don't know which one is the correct one. So, Rabbi Elazar. So the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, which is that it's only wine, and it has to be drunk in an intoxicating way, which means that it has to be drunk straight, right? No dilution, not on the rocks. And also, we're going to add the point that Tosis makes, that it's not enough just simply to go into the Beis HaMikdash, but go into the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah as well. And the Gemara then assumes that the same thing is true regarding Paskin and Halacha. That if you drank wine, you are not allowed to render a halachic decision. Any halachic decision that covers the gamut of Halacha, the Gemara gave a number of different types of issues that you're not allowed to discuss. What about Mishnah? The Gemara says Mishnah is fine. What about Gemara? And the Gemara's conclusion is that Gemara is fine. Meaning, I know it's a self-reference, but meaning that the discussion, the analysis of the Mishnah, which we call Gemara, that's okay. It's just the bottom line, to get to a bottom line while intoxicated, that Gemara says you're not allowed to do. Okay, we're up to now the next Mishnah. Next series of Mishnahs in the third parak are fascinating. It's going to be a little bit tricky. It's going to be a little bit difficult. As always, we'll get through it one way or another, hopefully with more clarity than not. And basically, what the Mishnah over here is going to do is the following. It's really in the abstract, meaning I do not imagine, certainly not this Mishnah, certainly not the next Mishnah. You'll smile when we get to the next Mishnah in terms of my next sentence. None of this is actually going to happen, but what the Gemara, basically, what the Mishnah wants to do is basically find compound Yisurim. Meaning, where can we find the most number of Yisurim contained in one singular act? So, this is, I don't want to call this mental gymnastics, of course it's much more than that, it's Torah, but it is going to be somewhat of a brain teaser in that we're going to try to discover how a person can do one act and come out of it two, three, four, five, maybe even six different Yisurim from the eating or, in the next Mishnah, from the act of relations. Okay, for this Mishnah is Achila, next Mishnah is Tashmish. Okay. Yesh ochel achila achas v'chayavan alav arba chatos v'asham echad. So here, the Mishnah starts off with the following. A person can have one achila, an achila achas, and have five penalties come out of it. Four carbon chatoses, and one carbon asham. So let's go over the case. Tameh. Sha'achal chaylev, v'hayanoser, min ha-mukdashim, b'yom ha-kippurim. So, the person himself is tameh. He is impure. And he eats chaylev. So the chaylev is the forbidden fats of an animal. And the chaylev was of a carbon. And the carbon was left over beyond its prescribed time, which means that now this piece of chaylev, which is a food, which is already a prohibited food, is also now subject to the isser of nosar. And obviously, because it was a carbon, it's hekdesh, and all this occurred on Yom Kippur. Now, the four carbon chatuses. Number one, we know that when a tameh eats carbon, a person whose tameh eats carbon, so that's a carbon punishment. We learned that in the first Mishnah of Krisos. Number two is that it's chaylev. Chaylev is a forbidden fats of the animal. That is a carbon penalty. Obviously, by the way, every one of these things was done b'shogeg because we're talking about the karmen chatas. So all these acts were done in a state of unawareness. So two is going to be chaylev. Three is that, he's tameh, it's chaylev, and it's nosar. Sorry, that's one, two, and three. And it was done on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a kari's penalty. So that's another karmen chatas. And the fact that he was moel behekdesh, meaning he misappropriated hekdesh, he ate hekdesh, got benefit from hekdesh, so that's what's called me'ila. Me'ila, for the violation of me'ila, that's a carbon asham. Okay, so four chatuses, one asham. Now, Rabbi Meir, Omer Imhaya Shabbos Votzio Chayav. So, Rabbi Meir says, well, imagine this, meaning while it's in his mouth, and Yom Kippur that year happened to have coincided with Shabbos, and he walks outside with the food in his mouth, so then he's going to be chayiv in addition to that also, hotza'ah on Shabbos. So, amr lo olam eino min Hashem. So they say to Rabbi Meir, that's not fair. Meaning what you just did is not fair. Because we're looking for violations of achila, of eating. Granted that he's also carrying, if he walks outside in Rishus HaRabim in his mouth, but that's not an Isra Achila, that's a totally different Isra altogether. We're looking for one act, meaning one Achila, that the Achila itself is what generates all these different Isurim. Okay, a couple of points, which some of them the Gemara is going to be discussing. First of all, why did Rameer say that year Yom Kippur had to coincide with Shabbos? You're not allowed to carry Yom Kippur. meaning Rav Meir could have just simply articulated that it's Yom Kippur, meaning we already know it's Yom Kippur because you're eating on Yom Kippur, that was one of the Yisurim, and just simply now that you took it outside on Yom Kippur. So why isn't the fact that it's Yom Kippur be enough to incur that liability for carrying? Okay? Not my question. The Gemara's question is going to ask that later on. Also, another issue which is not really discussed in the Gemara, is carrying in your mouth. That's weird. Now, I'm not just saying that as I'm not judging. I'm just saying that we know that the halacha of Hotzav requires you to carry it in a normal fashion. So if you carry it in an abnormal fashion, if you do any malacha on Shabbos with a shinui in an abnormal fashion, so that's not going to incur liability. And over here, we're talking about a person who's carrying food in his mouth. So it seems from the Gemara, again, it seems from the Mishnah, and the Gemara makes no comment about it whatsoever, that that is not so weird, meaning that may in fact be a legitimate violation of Otsah, even though you're carrying it in your mouth. Right? We all live in communities with Erev, so we don't think this way, but let's say you're chewing gum in a place where there's no Erev, i.e. Brooklyn, right? Then I didn't have to choose Brooklyn. I could have chosen anywhere else, but you understand. So presumably that would be an issue, meaning that would be the malach of carrying, as we've just learned over here in the Mishnah. Okay, now the Gemara over here discusses, we're in one of the, not the most important point of the Masechta, but just in terms of understanding krisus and compounded Isurim. This is now a very basic point, which we're going to be discussing over the course of the next couple of minutes, which is the Yisur of Isser Chalal Isser. Meaning, what just happened in the Mishnah? I have a food that's already prohibited, and what we're doing is we're layering now new prohibitions on this food. Now, the basic rule is, Ein Isser Chalal Isser. That's the basic rule. Now, there are Tanaim who are of the opinion that this rule is not a rule. Meaning, some Tanaim just simply say, no, you can have an Isser compound on top of another Isser. What's the issue? It doesn't bother me whatsoever. But the sense you get from the Gemara, as we're going about to see, is that really that's not the accepted position. Once you start naming names, meaning once you identify yourself as a Tana, I mean, for example, Rav Meir of our Mishnah, so the Gemara says, no way he holds that an Isser is Chalal Isser, that you can have one Isser lay on top of another Isser. Okay, and that pretty much is the accepted position. So if that's true, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, so how in the world did you understand our Mishnah? You have a food which is chalav, it's already forbidden, because it's a piece of chalav. And now it becomes nosar, so what? Meaning, nosar can't stick on this food, it already is, the Torah already prohibits to us. And now we're going to layer on top of it another Isser? No way. And so what bothers the Gemara now is, how do we get here? How do we get to the point where I have compound Isserim? So the Gemara starts off, Neima Isle Rav Meir Isser Chalal Isser. The Gemara asks almost like incredulously, like Rav Meir really holds Isser Chalal Isser? Now it's funny, by the way, because Rav Meir was only the second opinion in the Mishnah. I mean, before there was Rav Meir in the Mishnah, there was a Tana Kama. Like, how come the Gemara wasn't bothered by the Tana Kama? So as I mentioned, because the Tana Kama is unnamed, we could say that the Tana Kama holds Isser Chalal Isser. But once Rav Meir comes along and he's named, right? He's a named person in the, you know, in the Mishnah. Gemara's like, can't be. Rav Meir holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser. I'm sorry, it can't be that he holds Isser Chalal Isser. Nehid Isser Chalal Isser Leislei Isser Kolav Isser Mosif Islay. So the Gemara here, this is it. This is like basic stuff. So the Gemara says, look, you're right. Rav Meir generally holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser, that you do not have compounded Isurim. But if the second Isser adds anything either quantitatively or qualitatively to the first Isser, so then the second Isser can lay on top of the first Isser. Now, the quantitative, qualitative, those are my terms. Okay, you don't have to love them, but I'm just, I patented it. The Gemara's terminology is Isser Kolel and Isser Mosif. So Isser Kolel is when there are more people included in the Isser. Isser Mosif is when there's something in the Isser itself now which projects more. As you go through the examples, you're going to understand this a lot better. I'll understand this a lot better as well. So, Tarmi Kara Lo Asr Ela Bechelev. Look, so let's say, for example, the person is Tahor. So, he can't eat Chelev, because Chelev is a forbidden fat of an animal, Everyone can eat chalev. So havale tame. When the person becomes tame, migu da'asa bechatichos taharos, he tosef ve nami suri ilave. Look, now that you're a person who's tame, you can't eat any carbon whatsoever. So in other words, your now new situation of life, you becoming tame, now broadcasts that you can't eat any carbon. So this particular food, already, even though it's already asur to you because it's chaylev, but nigo, since your state of tuma now applies to all other foods, it'll apply to this chaylev as well. V'chaylev mikar lo asur la b'achila. Now look, chaylev in of itself is only asur b'achila. Akdashe, once now it becomes carbon, once the animal turns into carbon, migo ditosev b'isur dana, itosev b'lagabe chaylev. Now what happens? The entire animal now is not just aser be'achila, now becomes aser be'ana, it's a carbon. Carbon's aser be'ana. So now, qualitatively, you're now dealing with a more profound iser. It's iser, this is iser mosif. Ve'akati le'hejot hu aser avala gavoa share. So now, but still, even in this date, the chelev is aser to you. Be'achila v'ana. But what do you do with the chelev? You put it on the mizbeach, meaning God can benefit from it. Again, kavayachol, to the best of our understanding, whatever that means, but it can go on the mizbeach, but once it becomes nosar, so now nobody can eat it. You can't eat it, and kavayachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't eat it as well. It can't go on the mizbeach. So avalei nosar, migudi tosef yisur lagabe gavoi, tosef nami lagabe be'lagabe hejot. So now again, that's a qualitative, it's a qualitative superiority of the isser, where now, because it can't go on the mizbeach, so therefore the isser applies to you as well. You can't eat it as a result of nosar. Now, challah yom kippurim. Now, so far we've covered almost all of it, right? Tame, chaylev, nosar, and me'ilah. And now we're going to add one more, which is yom kippur. Challah yom kippurim. Migud itosef be'isa lagabe chulin, itosef be'lagabe gavoa. So now in Yom Kippur, what can't you eat on Yom Kippur? You can't eat anything. Right. So now you are prohibited to eat any food whatsoever. And so now, since it broadcasts to all other foods, so therefore this food, which is already asr to you, and boy is this food asr for you, it's already chalev, it's nosar, it's tameh, there's an isr me'ila. But because Yom Kippur applies to all other foods, it applies to this one as well. That's a quantitative addition. That's isr kolam. And so here's now what the Gemara is going to do over the course of the next 10 lines of Gemara. Let's see if we can add more. Meaning the Gemara is not satisfied with the number of Isurim that was given to us by the Mishnah. Let's see if we can do better than the Mishnah. Right? It's funny. It's almost like mental gymnastics. It's much more than that because it's Torah. It's all part of Torah. But the Gemara wants to see if it can beat the Mishnah. So how about this? How about in addition to eating the kezias of nosar, you also ate kezias of pigal as well? So the Gemara says here, but I can't get pigal nosar on that same piece of food. So bechad behema kamari, b'shtei behema. So kamari, we're only talking about one animal. We're not talking about two animals. You can't be both pigal and nosar. Now, why not? It's very simple. Because once an animal is disqualified through pigol, that's it. Meaning nosar is only subject to a carbon which was edible, either by you or by the mizbeach, and then left over beyond its allotted time. That's nosar. Pigol, the moment you sprinkle the blood, boom, the animal now is pigol. The animal already now is disqualified. It can't become nosar, because it was never fit to be eaten, neither by you nor by the mizbeach. So pigal can't become nosar. So in order for us to add pigal to the list, we're going to need to get another carbon. But our Mishnah is only talking about getting isurim out of one carbon. Yes. Is there, in other words, is there me'ila by pigal? It's interesting. The Gemara is only bothered by pigal and nosar not overlapping. Mm-hmm. But still, though, even as pigal, it's still carbon. It still has kedusha. It didn't lose its kedusha. Pigal should not go on the mizbeach. It's disqualified. It's pasul. But if you put it on the mizbeach, Gemara is going to make that point in just a moment. The mizbeach will take it. Okay, the Gemara is going to make your point in just a moment. So the Gemara says, "Behemos lo kamay v'nosar pigol bechada behemah lo mishkachala." So alam alam mishkachala kagon shala ever pigol lagabim mizbech the paga pigol eminei v'avalei nosar. So the Gemara says, okay, very much what Ben just suggested. Look, once a carbon is pigle, that's it. It's disqualified. You can't eat it. It doesn't go on the Mizbeach. But, if you put it on the Mizbeach will accept it, and the shame pigle will go away. So the Gemara says, so why doesn't one limb of the animal go on the Mizbeach? This piggle animal go on the Mizbeach, and so therefore, the remaining part of the animal is still piggle. The one limb that went on the Mizbeach no longer is piggle. And once it's no longer piggle, then it could be subject to Nosar. Now, mind you, by the way, if I put it up on the Mizbeach, it's burning on the Mizbeach. So what are we worried about Nosar? So it must be a case. I mean, I know it's a lot. But again, the Gemara over here is just trying to figure, is there a case where we can get more Isurim? So it must be a case where it went up onto the Mizbeach, and then you took it out from the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, but again, that's all well and good, but we're interested in a case where you're eating from one limb. So the Gemara says, "V'nosar pigol bechad ever lo mishkachala, lama lo mishkachala kegon shela ever pigol agabim mizbech de pagay anche agabim mizbech upankei meivrai de mizbech deude mizbech paga pigol v'havalei nosar ukdamru la kometz pigol shela mizbech paga pigol amimenu v'havalei nosar." So the Gemara now says, "Okay, even with one aver, why don't we do the following? Put half of it over, on the mizbech, and the other half going." Over the side of the Mizbeach. And so therefore, in one limb, can I not have a scenario where I'm going to be having one limb, half of it non-piggle, losing the piggle status, i.e. the part that's over the top of the Mizbeach, and the other part still retaining its piggle status, so I can have one limb where half of it's piggle and half of it's nosar. Amar lei lo I ruba de mizbech shajal mizbech ruba de brai shajal brai. So the Gemara says no, because if I have a limb on the mizbech, some of it's on the mizbech, some of it's off the mizbech, we follow rov. So the Gemara says tishu de brai rami barchama halchu beivrei machar rov lo. So the Gemara says, well, that's funny, because back in the good old days when we were learning chulin, we asked this very question, right? Do we follow rov by a limb of a carbon? This is Rami Barchama's question. Rami Barchama is the asker. He's always the one asking questions. And the Gemara says, and we didn't come to a conclusion. So the Gemara says, look, how about this? How about we stop with all the discussions of the limb on the Mizbeach, half some of it on, some of it off. How about this? Our Mishnah is really much more fundamental. We're looking for a scenario where you're eating one kezias and all these Isurim coming off that one kezias. So the Gemara says, yeah, I basically agree with you, but you know what's in our Mishnah? The eating of Yom Kippur. Now, how much you need to eat on Yom Kippur in order to violate the Isur of Achila by Yom Kippur? So the answer is not a kezias. So the answer is a kosevis, right? A dried fig. Which is a larger shear than a kezias, because the isra of Yom Kippur is the inisim es nafsho sechem, right? You have to afflict yourself, so eating a kezias doesn't really fill you up. I know, you're going to feel pretty full on the Seder night after eating a kezias of matzah, but we're eating on the Seder night five kezesim of matzah. So anyway, but a kezias is not enough. You got to eat a shear of a kosevis. So v'lova aktani yom kippurim, v'yom kippurim kosevis, the mechayev the kosevis isbe shnei zesim. And the Gemara says a kosevis is made up of two kezesim. Amar ebizir kagon sha'achol kulya b'chalba. So the Gemara says, okay, well, that's not a big deal, because maybe the case in question over here is that where I ate the kidney with the chalev that surrounds the kidney. Okay, so, and I eat that on Yom Kippur. Serves you right, by the way, eating a kidney. Rav Papa Amar Kagon Demalia Batamre, or Rav Papa answers very simply that you supplemented the eating of the chalev with dates. Okay. Rav Acha Bar Acha Masni Hechatos Matarsle Kagon De Acha Kazais Pegovalo Mishani Kahani Shinui Deka Mishaninan. So now Rav Papa, when he learned our Mishnah, the Mishnah that we just spent most of our day learning, so what he would do is that he would learn the Mishnah as not five cases, but he will learn it as I'm sorry, not four chatos, but five chatos, meaning because he would do pigel and he would do nosar. And what about all the issues that we raised? None of these were really issues to him. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? As long as you're okay eating more than one kazayas, so why not add blood? And so therefore, let's have the person eat. Let him eat nosar, pigol, and dam. So the Gemara says, "Bechad achil kamari b'shtei achilos lo kamari v'shir chachamim de'ein beis abli amachzik yosem mishnei zeisim." So the Gemara basically says, "Look, I'm okay with eating two kazeisim, but not more than two kazeisim. Your mouth can't hold more than two kazeisim, so we have to cap off at two kazeisim." And right, and the half that was on was pigol, and yes, Rav Meir Omer v'nisnei imotzio chaya my time katanim haisa Shabbos. Here the Gemara asked the question, which I foreshadowed back in the Mishnah, which is, why did you have to say that Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincided? Isn't Yom Kippur enough? Where if you carry on Yom Kippur, you'll violate the Yisra Votzal. So Amar Afram Zosamer, it's Erev Votzal, the Shabbos Vein, Erev Votzal, the Yom HaKippurim. So Rafram makes a statement, we've seen the statement a couple of times throughout Shas, and he says, look, there's no Hotza'ah for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur does not have the malacha of Hotza'ah. I mean, why would there be such a difference? I don't know. What's the svara behind that? If you have one, please share it with me. I don't know. So, but anyway, that's what he says, and so that's why.
Okay, it had to be on for already.
Well, it was on Yom Kippur, but why is there no malacha of Hotza'ah
on
Yom Kippur, according to Rafram, which the Gemara is going to end up rejecting. But in the meantime, however, just to have some sort of understanding of why that should be, okay. So, Mimai Dama Yesher Vatzali Yom Kippur, Vahakitanim, Haisa Shabbos Votziyu, Chayav Af Mishum Shabbos, Vyom HaKippur. So the Gemara says, look, if it's just our Mishnah alone, our Mishnah is no proof. Meaning, maybe Rav Meir just introduced Shabbos just so he could get more Yisurim. Remember, what was the whole point of our Mishnah? Let's see if we can get maximum number of Yisurim. So maybe what he was doing in our Mishnah was just simply getting to maximum number of Yisurim. So it was, you'll be chayv for Hotza of Yom Kippur, plus you'll be chayv for Hotza of Shabbos as well. Eliyid Marafram al-Hadayid. So the Gemara says, fine. So maybe Rafram was not talking about our Mishnah. Maybe Rafam was talking about another halacha, the Tanya. So you take out the Se'ir Lazazel, and it's taken out by an Ish Iti. Right? What does that mean? So first of all, Ish Lach Sher Sazar. So first of all, Ish means it doesn't have to be a Kohen. And Iti Afilu B'Tumah. Now, Iti means it can even do it in a state of Tumah. And Vafil B'Shabbos, and it can be done even if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide. And E.T. B'Mizumman, he has to be designated, set aside as the man who's going to be escorting the goat to the edge of the cliff. So Ketani E.T. Afil B'Shabbos. Now it says E.T., and even if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide. Well, what did Shabbos add to the whole discussion? Meaning, why is it more a halachic consideration if Yom Kippur and Shabbos coincide? I'm a Rafram, so here we go. This is where Rafram now makes his stand. Zosamer, Zerav Votzal, Shabbos Vein, Erav Votzal, Yom Kippurim. So, Mimai, Shani, Sierra Mishalech, Dechsher, Yom Kippurim, Bekach. So, the Gemara says, well, that's not going to do it for me. Because, look, the fact that it's Yom Kippur, there may be an Isra of Hotzah on Yom Kippur. And you are not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur in general. What about the Sierra Mishalech? So, the Gemara says, yeah, but it's Yom Kippur, that's part of the mitzvah. The Chovas Hayom requires you to take the Sierra Mishalech out. And Rashi says, you know what it's like? It's like offering a carbon tamid on Shabbos. You know, you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. Yeah, but if the mitzvah sayom requires you to shecht, so you shecht on Shabbos. A carbon tamid. So here also, the mitzvah sayom requires you to take the sirah mishtalech and if necessary, carry it out to the cliff. You're carrying? Yeah, but that's part of the mitzvah sayom. But now that it's Yom Kippur and Shabbos, so now Shabbos adds a dimension that you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so you can't learn out over here that there's no Hotzah on Yom Kippur. So to which the Gemara finally says, El Rafram, Barusa or Bedusahi. So the Gemara says, Rafram is, if you want the Girsa Barusa, as we have in our Gemara, that means He's outside, meaning it's not an opinion which is in the fold. It's outside the fold. We don't accept this position. Okay? So that's it. We finish the Isuri Achila. Tomorrow we start with the Isuri of Tashmish. How many Isurim can we generate out of one Achila, of one Kezai? So the Gemara says total of 5 Isurim out of 1 Achilas Kezai. 4 of them would render a carbon, would obligate a carbon chatz. 1 would render a carbon asham. Okay, and we learned today about Isur Kolol and Isur Mosif. That one can layer on top of another Isur, but it has to add something, either quantitative or qualitative. Again, learning we do this morning is for Refu Shlema 4. Rafael Zakai, Avram Ben Avigail, Yakira Avigail. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Marvus Akash Baruch Hu Zakai, Sofiyah Chachir Bam Tarmitz, Shana Manachafei Samantzikol, Yagdil Tarav Yadir.